Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This is a new thing now where you press record and it says you are being recorded, which is a little bit disconcerting. Russia is listening. Hello, Russia.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say it must be something to do with privacy, something or others. Who knows? Weird. When you started singing that, I knew that's what you were going to sing. I knew you were going to sing it to the Eurostar theme music, theme song, whatever.
Eurostar, that's gas. Are we morphing into the same person?
Perhaps. I mean, yeah.
I can't wait for you to come down on your honey bobs. You know, I did this mad dash to IKEA on Saturday. I drove up to IKEA and back because that's how we roll. And I had to laugh because my cousin was around. Now, I didn't know she was coming around. But she texted me to say she was around. And she obviously, like, I live in West Kerry, so she presumed I was going to be in West Kerry. So I had to be just very vague as to why I had to go to Dublin. I was like, I've just got this thing in Dublin today. And then the next day she was like, was it a work thing? I'm like, I mean, I guess you could call it that. But really, I was going on a mad dash to IKEA. And I think my incentive, because obviously we don't have a lot of moolah at the moment, but I was like, I just want to get a couple of bits for our visitors, because you are going to come to us for holidays during the summer, aren't you, Emma? Aren't you, Emma? Aren't you, Emma?
Yeah, of course we are.
Oh, I can't.
When will we come
down? Oh, well, listen, when the kids are on school, when are the kids on school? July? Would we say July?
Yeah, so they'll be finished now at the end of June.
So I've got the room ready for you. I actually, to be honest, I was one step away from dressing the bed, but I was like, even by my standards.
Mint on the pillow, given out to Fred. That was for Emma. That was for our guest.
You know what? She always had that one friend that she went to stay with, and you knew that you just knew that her family had always done things differently. Like, I had this one friend in Ross Carberry in Cork, and I remember I went to stay with her, and oh my God, I got the whole treatment. So we had an amazing dinner. We had starters, we had wine. Then after dinner, she got this like really, this is before people start with the dark chocolate, by the way, this is probably 2011, 2012. She got like the dark chocolate, fresh raspberries from the market. We had Irish coffees after, and then I went up to the room and she had laid out towels, including a face cloth, and had a little chocolate on the face cloth for me. And I just remember thinking, I don't know if this friendship can continue, because we're just two different people coming from two different worlds. Like, usually when people stayed in my gaff up to that point, I'd find a bed for them and there'd be like all sorts in the bed, like sand, an empty packet of crisps. You know, you'd be convincing them, oh yeah, no, I tidied it all up for you now, we're good to go. And you would have just gone in with the Febreze, like a quick once over.
Oh,
like, yeah, that's
God.
Grand. But I mean, they were the bad days. You know, I've since learned to tame my natural chaos. And if you come to stay with me now, it's just the 5-star treatment. So I went on a mad dash to IKEA, was delirious with myself. Now, I actually thought they'd be open earlier. They don't open till 10. So I was up for 10 and I actually walked around with my friend Amo. And we were laughing because the last time I'd been to IKEA with him, we were at the checkouts and he said to me, you know, the way like you get to the plant section and you're debating, you're like, do I deserve a new cactus? I'm not sure if I do. And then he had said to me, we're at the plant section. He was like, you know what, would you mind if I go back and get that €1 mug? And we went back. It was after IKEA had just opened. And I'll never forget the stress of going against the tide to go back for that €1 mug. And I was like, yeah, no, you're grand. Not a big deal at all. But you're basically a salmon swimming upstream when you go against the one-way system in IKEA. Like, you're taking your life into your own hands. So this time round, it was a lot more calm and we just got the little bits and bobs. I foolishly got curtains. I don't even know if you'd call them curtains. They're very translucent and the pole is too big for the curtains. So I tried to close the curtains last night and I do have a gash in my head because the pole came down with the curtain. But look, I mean, sure, we have no neighbours, so it's fine. So in other words, like, obviously it's, do you remember that video with, was it Mel B or Mel C? Who was the sporty one? Mel C. Mel C and Bryan Adams. Baby, when you're gone. It's that kind of vibe because you can just see everything going on in the gaff with Julie's new curtains.
Okay, hang on. There's, yet again, pardon the pun, there's a lot to unpack. You did a mad dash to IKEA from Kerry.
I did.
So how long did it take you to get to IKEA?
Oh, sure. Like, I was up in no time. I mean, I probably left at 6:30. And I was up. I mean, I was up for well for 10 at that stage. So obviously there was no traffic or anything. Flew up. And I quite like, it's such a treat to be in the car on your own. I don't know the last time I went on a long journey on my own in the car. It was great.
Good Lord. It's just, it's a lot. To me, yeah. A mad dash is somewhere like, I'm going to get there a lot quicker.
I know. Well, it is a 7-hour round trip, which is, you know, it's probably a bit more than a dash. Let's face it. But the good news is, and you know, it's so funny when I put up the curtains, I mean, the first thought I had was of Joe or Tommy coming down and asking you what the story with the curtains were. And you just giving them a nudge. Stop. We're visitors. Stop it. Mind your manners.
Mommy, why can't we close the curtain? I can see everything. And everyone can see us. What's the point, Dean? I think when they're just rags on the pole. Shh. Tommy, stop it. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, first of all,
thanks why so do... much. This will do us nicely. Thanks a million.
Why do they sound like they're heavily medicated? Heavily. First off. Like
holidays. Come on. We're all medicated on holidays.
No, we are defo looking forward to it. Just like, she's IKEA, I need to go out there myself again now soon. But the last time I went out with Jane, it was a mad dash. Like, we just fucked a whole lot of stuff in trolleys. And Shane had done his measurements wrong. So we had mattresses and all sorts. And it turned out that it just wasn't going to fit. We'd already started driving at this point. So basically what we had to do is Shane had to get out of the car. And I had to drive home with the stuff. I think Joe was in the car. Fucking hell. And he had to get a taxi home. That's how packed. And this is like in the fucking mommy mobile.
So funny. I know, but you know, I have not been to IKEA. For me is the incentive. It's the real incentive to get a gaff. I mean, I think that's why I went so hard with the job applications today, because, you know, look, if I have to go and purchase LED lights for another rental accommodation, I'm going to go mental. I want to purchase LED lights and say these are my forever LED lights.
Oh my God. Fuck's sake.
But it's going to happen.
It is going to happen. 100% is going to happen. Like, I still have a cup now that was from the old landlord. I'll never forget when we moved into the house and he was showing us around and there was all like fucking, I don't know if I said this to you, but there was all fucking shit in the freezer. So he's opening up the fridge, like he's giving you the fucking inverted commas grand tour. And he's like, and yeah, no, there's stuff there in the freezer. Like that's yours if you want it. And I just have to nod along. But you know that thing of like, you're so afraid to rock the boat.
I know. And you know what? I was talking to a friend of mine who, I mean, I guess you would term her a landlord because she does have a gaff. She's renting it out at the moment. And I have to laugh because I mean, maybe the landscape of tenant, the landscape for tenants has changed, but she's always getting messages from them the whole time. And I was like, God, like, I never would have rocked the boat, because we're in such a precarious position in this country when it comes to rental accommodation, that you're always just scared you're going to piss them off and they're going to turf you out. Funny you say about the freezer, because I can remember a landlord withholding my deposit when I lived in Cork because we had left food in the freezer. And also one of the girls, yes, and that was, no, that was the major crime. And then the other crime was one of the girls. I mean, this has happened to all of us. I mean, especially in the 20s when we're all, you know, bleeding like racehorses left, right and centre for a week, a month. One of the girls had gotten a bit of period on a mattress. So he was like, that's it. That €1,200 is gone. Like, he was such a prick.
Oh my God. But I mean, first of all, like, blood is quite easy to clean out of things anyway.
I mean, the last time I killed a man, I was done in no time. Well, this is it. It's not, of all the stains, I mean, bodily fluid, I would say, is generally pretty low down the list in terms of the time it would take to get it out of material. I mean,
but even would you not, like, I know this is fantasy land, but like, would you not be even just changing the mattresses for new people?
I know. Well, you see, this says it all, doesn't it? And then, so that was one crime. And then the other crime was having all the sliced pan in the freezer.
Ridiculous. Come here. Tell us about the applying for jobs.
Well, there's no news on it, really. I think I was telling you now before we started, I'm going hell for leather. I had to laugh, Emma. Oh my God, what a difference a month makes. When I was laughing, thinking back to myself and up to 90, on our exclusive Patreon episode, Judy has a nervous breakdown when she doesn't get an interview for a job she put in for. If you do want to check that out, that's a Patreon exclusive. I had to laugh, actually, because somebody locally came up to me in the shop the other day to say they'd listen to that episode, and I felt so violated. You almost feel like saying to someone, hey, that's private, you know. It always feels like up to 90 is just a private conversation between you and me. So when somebody comes up and is like, yeah, I heard it, I'm like, how dare you listen in on my personal conversations. But no, so I'm going hell for leather, but I have to laugh, because a month ago I was like, I have to go back teaching. Might have to go back teaching. I've applied for about 22 jobs and have yet to get an interview. So I was framing it as, my plan B is teaching. And now I'm just like, oh my God, like, what's the chances of an envelope over here?
I love it. You see, now you're at the point where you've been beaten down by the process of applying for jobs. This is how I ended up working as a kitchen porter in a coffee shop not too long ago.
You know what? That's
how it happened. Because I was just like, Christ almighty.
Well, sure.
Need something.
That's like, do you remember? Well, in 2015, before I started comedy, do you remember I worked in the fish and chip shop and I got fired by the 17-year-old for breaking his iPad? And it's funny because every time we pass that building, Fred's like, oh, isn't that the place where the 17-year-old fired you? I was like, Fred, come on. That's actually quite a painful memory for me. But I think you need to do those kind of jobs because it gives you the impetus to get something else, because that was probably, I mean, at that stage, what age would I have been? Maybe 31, 32. But I needed to have that experience to then say, okay, I might just give comedy a go. You know, like, it definitely gives you that impetus and gives you that push.
Yeah.
To go outside of your comfort zone.
I think the thing is, like, obviously, you know, I may at one stage again in my life work as a kitchen porter or something like that. But the purpose of me finding a job at that time was getting like a proper.
Getting back into the game.
Yeah, getting a proper like careery job so I could go to the bank and say, hey, look what I've done. Because I was already, you know, in terms of like getting cash, I was already getting cash from comedy. It wasn't a cash. It wasn't a cash problem. But I just like that, I'd been applying for stuff for so long that I was just like, I just need something just to like break the cycle. But you see, like, at least you've more like qualifications and training than I have. I mean,
well, I do, and I have, because like, look,
arts management degree.
No, well, great. Listen, I wish I could go back to my 17-year-old self and say, listen, Julie, I know you're just picking English and Irish because they're your two first languages and you're a lazy bitch, but you really need to think more broadly about this. And I recently happened upon my CAO form and my second choice.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Horror Jesus story. Christ. So my second choice was English and Russian. Where the hell was I going with that? So now, look, I think it's definitely like, and I absolutely am not like being any way disparaging towards those jobs whatsoever. I'm just saying when you're doing a job that is really hard work, like I'm talking really hard work. I mean, it absolutely makes you appreciate, you know, people who do it in the long term, because it is the toughest, like kitchen work, waitressing, dealing with the public in general is exhausting. I mean, I absolutely stan anyone who can do it long term. I did apply for it. Do you remember I went for that job a couple of years ago as a youth development worker? Did I tell you about that instant? And the interview was in Galway. It was in Connemara. And I went and I realized, as because obviously I was doing comedy full time. So no more than that. I was like, I need a job to get a mortgage. So this could be my little day job.
When the fuck was this?
This was September 2 years ago. And I went,
you're a gas woman, you are at all sorts of shite, and I haven't, I hear about it like 2 years
but this was just like, you're, it was just woman. Look, you know me, I'm as you've heard from my IKEA dash inverted commas, I'm mad for road, so like, you know, this was just a regular Tuesday for me going down to Connemara for a training day. So I went down and I was an hour and a half late because I'd ran out of petrol somewhere in the Midlands. And actually, I was quite annoyed because I ran out of petrol just at a roundabout coming off the motorway. And the guards came along to give out to me because they were like, you're blocking a roundabout. And I was like, thanks for letting me know. Yeah, I'm well aware. I've actually ran out of petrol.
Yet again.
Hello.
Yet again. The guards on your case.
The guards. Yeah, I was like, don't make me say, but just so you know, my dad used to be a ministerial driver, just so you know, before you even go there. No, so I ran out of petrol. So I was an hour and a half late coming down, and the people were actually so nice to me. So I went down and I got talking to one of the girls who did the job. And then I was like, so what kind of, this is so funny. Within the first 5 minutes of me going in there, they were so nice. They were getting me a cup of tea. I was like, I gave a half-arsed apology for being late. I mean, you know, I was like, yeah, sorry, like car trouble. Didn't want to say I'd ran out of petrol. And they were so nice. They were getting me tea and the girl was saying, I was just in the queue. And, you know, you've got your tray and you're making chit chat. And I was like, so how long have you been working here? She's like, 10 years. I was like, amazing. And I was like, I love young people. Like, I just can't wait to work through the medium of Irish with young people and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, what kind of hours now would you work? And she was like, well, obviously we work every Friday night. And I was like, okay, I've got the tray. Once you have the tray, you've committed. Like, there's no leaving the queue. So I made that decision even before I got to the till. I was like, it's over. It's done. Because when I heard you worked Friday nights, I was like, I've got comedy dreams. I can't work Friday nights. So then I had to sit there for the 3 hours knowing that I wasn't going to take this job on. And then they were so nice. They were like, we broke for lunch. And then after lunch, they were like, look, we'll take you to your B&B. Because they booked us a B&B. Because it's Connemara, hello. So they were like, look, the B&B's in Spittal, so we'll meet you there. I was like, yeah, great. So I got into my car. I got into my car and I followed them to Spittal, but they pulled in and I just kept driving. So I kept driving then I went back to Meath. So by the time I landed back in Meath, I had, I mean, probably about 20, 25 missed calls and like a few emails, like, just want to know you're okay. So I was like, yeah, I thought about it. I don't think the job's going to be suitable for me, but thanks so much for the morning. Lovely to meet you, blah, blah, blah. So then they were kind of emailing me like, I hope you're like, did something happen? Because obviously they've been standing at the B&B with the key. And I was like, no, I just don't think like it's the job for me, but wish you well, blah, blah, blah. So that job's after coming up again. So I've actually put in for it again.
Are you actually shitting me?
I'm not, because look, times have changed. So like, hello.
Look, you know,
kids, come on. Like, I need to take care of the kids. So I sent an email and I just said, look, I did go for this job a couple of years ago, but just I was like, just at that time in my life, I didn't feel my Irish was good enough. But I've since done so much work, and I've done like translation and a grammar course and all that kind of stuff. So I feel in a much, much better position. But I just have some, the neck of me, the absolute neck, because like, if they call me for an interview, I will go and I will look them in the eye. I will look them in the eye and say, I'm sorry I left you standing by the B&B, but that's old Julie. Like, new Julie has her shit together. I just want you to know that.
You've really, I have to say, fair play to you. You've really fast tracked the I'm going insane because I'm trying to find a job. Like, okay. it took me a while to get to that stage, and you just completely fast tracked it.
Well, I mean, tell you,
I'd say you're about a month away from working as a kitchen porter. That's my guess.
Well, I'll tell you this much. The last time I got the job, inverted commas, the reason I got the job was your man actually told me that I was the only person he put in for it. So what I'm hoping for this time, what I'm hoping for this time is that I can also beat off the non-competition, i.e. that I will be the only person putting in for it and they'll have to give me a second chance. Now, the money is like, was absolutely appalling. Like, appalling isn't the word, but you know yourself.
Oh, well, that's, I think that's
a job.
Yeah, well, I think if the money's appalling, that's always nice. It's always a nice little thing to add to the applying for a job you don't want. Do you know what I mean? I think that always really spices it up.
No, but you know, with a
listener, get in touch. If you can get Julie a job that pays okay and she could possibly like this is this podcast, Julie, I think at the moment we have to take a break because it's doing you more harm than good on your career search. So first of all, we had the one about the not getting the interview, and as you said, exclaiming into the air about having to possibly go back teaching. Now we're admitting that we're applying for jobs that we pulled a legger on, like pulled a pure
absolute
legger.
Oh, but like I've pulled leggers. Like I worked in La Crosse on Tree. Do you remember La Crosse on Tree? And I went to Sligo for the weekend, and it's like I don't know what was going on in Sligo, but my best buddy at the time went to college there, and anytime I went down, I must have gone down, I'd say once a month to Sligo on the Raz. And I think after 2 years, my dad said, "Isn't the WBA statue so nice in the town centre?" I was like, "What WBA statue?" That's when I knew I was just going too far with the drink. But I didn't turn up to La Crosse on Tree one Sunday because I was, and I was so demented, I sent my mother a message thinking I thought it was the wrong day. So I was like, oh, I know I've college today, but just so you know, I won't be back, blah, blah, blah. And it was like Saturday morning or something. She's like, what the hell is going on? But I didn't turn up for work in La Crosse on Tree in Liffey Valley. And I remember they were sending me voicemails, just wanted to see was I alive. And then they kind of gave up on checking whether or not I was alive. And they just cut to the chase. And they were like, can you just at least drop us back the uniform? So I posted the uniform. I just put it in an envelope and I just kissed goodbye to that week's wages and I just posted the uniform. And through then, anytime I was in the food court in Liffey Valley, even up until last year, I'd be putting the hood up and La Crosse on Tree's well gone. And I'd still be putting the hood up, like just for fear, skulking about for fear somebody would see me.
I can't wait now because there's definitely going to be like a Netflix documentary on you and I'm going to have to be one of the main talking heads.
Oh, like don't fuck about, with cats.
Yeah. And they're going to talk about how, like what, you know, turning up to interviews, wearing funny hats, buying people chocolate.
I'm telling, okay, I'm just going to say this
and then
now,
just
right?
Totally plopping off the grid.
Can
and
I?
People thinking you're dead. That's the levels. It's buying chocolates, wearing hats, or going off the grid and people think you're dead.
I still maintain if I had gotten the interview at Radio Gaeilge and I whipped out the hat, that job would have been in the bag. That joke, anytime I must have told 10 people that joke in advance and I got a little giggle every time. Like I would have knocked it out of the park.
But are they looking for, is that part of like the remit?
You're a star. Come on, you have to bring the jazz hands to the interview always. Come
but
here.
I think if you did a joke in an interview for something that wasn't comedy related, I'm just like, this girl just wants to do comedy.
Yeah, you have to, you always have to temper it a bit. Like, it's funny now because I've kind of just erased the comedy career from the teaching applications. But then, frustratingly, the latest application I was filling out today, 20 pages. Oh, but they actually asked reason for leaving in your previous skills. And it's so funny because I like realized I was kind of having a giggle going through reasons for leaving. Like, you know, reasons for leaving Luke and pursued my dream, wanted to pursue my real dream, which is comedy or whatever. Then reason for leaving, say Limerick, had to leave because I had shifted a co-worker and ended up in such a toxic dynamic that one of us had to leave, so it was me. Like, you just, you know, you frame it like, wanted to go traveling, decided to move to Dublin for family reasons, like, instead of saying I was actually embroiled in such a toxic breakup situation, I had to walk away from a permanent job. Like, you don't, you want to just temper that a little bit. It got to the stage where I had to eat my lunch alone in the photocopying room. Like, you're not gonna, you know, you're gonna meanwhile, like, your man, like, storming past my classroom saying your one in there is a complete nut.
I think I know what to do. I know what to do. Okay. You need to set up your own school. Okay.
I'm listening.
And just, yeah, okay. And we're going to say that it's something to do with, oh, this is it. I've got it. So you're going to set up the school in Dingle. Okay. That's going to give it a bit of cachet or whatever. And it's going to be, we're going to call it something like, it's a school for creative children, something or something, whatever. Right. So it's going to be a school purely for kids who are in fourth year. And it'll be like a boarding school for a year, okay? And you only need a few because the fee is going to be big enough.
Well, I mean, it's see. Private. How much,
yeah, how much do you want to earn a year? Do you want like 50K?
Oh, that'd be nice, yeah.
Okay, 50K. So why don't we say that for the term, it's for the year. No, sorry, not for the term. For a year, we'll say it's 15,000, right?
Just Blackrock College, though. I was thinking,
no, 10, but it's,
Gemma, come on, let's get real.
Okay, well, let's say 10 a year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get, we don't even need that many students. Say if we get like 15 and we do like an audition process, so they have to be accepted into this, okay? And it's going to completely focus on the creativity. So you'll get Fred involved. Now you'll have to have
Emma. Sorry, as if them, you have right? to, as if you have to say you're going to get Fred involved. Like, every now and again, no, Fred we'll says pay, things like, "Can I have some of the time. Patreon?" I'm like, please,
fuck off. No, you get him involved, but like, you know, minimum wage, or if he wants cash in hand, less. Like, less.
Cash is king.
Yeah. So we'll get him teaching music or something, and then get a few other heads down, but just get them down for, you know, a week at the time, put them up in your gaff, tell them it's a holiday, like, get people to come down on holidays, and then just say to them, look, you know, it's kind of like a family.
So you're here now. Yeah.
You might as well
stay the year.
Class starts at 10. No, you only get people down for a week or two on their holiday, and then you just throw them into the school. And then obviously they've got their midterms and all the rest of it. And you get a few celeb people, you know what I mean, whatever. And you do that. And it's your school. You don't need to be interviewed. You don't need to do anything of that. If you give it a snazzy name and you fake a few quotes, I think that's,
you know,
it.
What? Yeah, do you know when I quote it? I think you're onto something, Emma. Because, you know, Fred has a degree in music. He used to teach music in a prison.
Here we go.
And he loved it. So hello. Like, you know, we're dealing with an experienced staff here.
Yeah. And what we'll do is we'll do a whole like PR thing about it, and we'll get you on a lane and everything. And it'll be some sort, the angle will be like Dingle's answer to Oprah. You know, the way like
of
Oprah
course, opened like that all the school schools. In South Africa.
Maybe we should just deal with, no, we'll just deal with girls in fourth year. Let's not bother with the fellas because it's too complicated then about the rooms.
Colleeny only.
I think the PR would be easier when it's just for girls and this is a female-led initiative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That yeah, kind of I think Centre for Excellence, educating female leaders of the future.
Creative female leaders of the future.
Creative, yeah, because we want a Eurostar element.
I think actually what you should just do is just take whatever Oprah has written on a website about her skills, just take that.
Copy and paste.
Yeah, and just add in the word creative. A few times.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously you'd have to change, like, say, South Africa to Dingle. You'd have to just do a control F as well. And just, you know, you wouldn't want that. That would be a bit of a glaring mistake to make. You'd have to change the font as well. No, it's funny you say that because today, and again, I think this is when I had to take to the bed, I did find myself writing on the application form a Maya Angelou quote. And I just said to myself, Julie, this has gone too far.
No, but you see, the good thing is at least
Maya Angelou, love a bit. If I find any quote that I come back to, it's generally Maya Angelou, isn't it?
But look, this can all be put into the press release, this story about how you came about the idea. And like, obviously, we're not going to talk about the croissant place, whatever.
We're not going to talk about posting our uniform back or the student in Limerick saying to the principal, I don't think Ineana Cohen's okay. Like, no, I think we'll leave all that off the brochure.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm telling you, Centre of Excellence, educating creative female leaders for the future. It's happening. And sure, then, like, you know, what could we, you could come down and do a media module with them.
No, I don't want to get involved in this.
Owen Colgan for construction. Owen Colgan for construction all the way.
No, get on. I don't want to be involved in this because it's only going to last about 3 years before the fucking shit hits the fan and there's accusations and all the rest of it. But you'll have enough time there to get your mortgage application in and approved and all that.
Once
and
I have the keys in my hand, whatever. Like the standard of educating female leaders, creating female leaders of the future. I mean, that's going to fall way below excellent after I get the keys in my hand and those deeds are handed over.
I love how when you're trying to say creative female leaders, it's so ironic. You keep saying creative female leechers.
Don't speak that many voice at African Dutch. We have a Dutch membership.
I think
you're onto something, Emma.
I think you have time. You have time. It's only the end of May. You have time to have this up and running.
Emma, I'll tell you one thing, I have a lot of time. I have to laugh when people send me emails. They're like, if you have time, I'm like, the one thing I do have. Well, actually, I suppose you don't, because you're then with Ted, you don't have a lot of time. Very funny. You know the way I was banging on about Dorgan's Garage last week and how I got such stellar service? This is very funny. They rang me today to remind me that I hadn't paid them. I totally forgot to pay them, Emma. So there I am, like, geez, you'd be giving out with Sam Fairs getting the freebies. And me thinking, giving them a plug on the old up to 90, you know, negates the need to actually pay them cold, hard cash. So they had to ring me today and they were like, oh, yeah, you know, about last week, you kind of do have to pay for it. And we had a good laugh on the phone. But I was like, what am I like?
I'm honestly, you can't see me because your laptop's fucked, but I'm honestly like hand over mouth agog. What's going on?
To pay them. And then, look, so there I am buying a box of roses for Jonathan in the NCT, and I still haven't actually paid these guys for the work they've done. So look, obviously we'll get that sorted tomorrow, fret not. In case I forget, you know, myself and Fred are doing that Who's Chosen Anyway in Today FM. We're doing that this Sunday, if anyone wants to
listen
in.
It's just a
once-off, but we're very, very excited about it. So we recorded it yesterday, and our theme is Bluetooth bangers. And the whole idea is that we're celebrating festivals by playing songs that are so good you don't even want to leave your tent. So you know the songs you have on your speaker and you're like,
oh,
you're
a bit of
a pop or whatever. But I had to laugh because we were recording it yesterday and I don't know what happened. But the two of us were like talking like Miriam Callan. Like we basically, the vowels on us. Celebrating. We're celebrating festivals. Like playing Bluetooth classic. Like just insane. Like the Jim Carrey facial movements on us were just nuts. So if anyone wants to listen, because you know, I totally forgot. It just popped in my head there. But if you do want to listen,
what time is that
message,
then?
Maybe message to TFM and say, these guys would be amazing having a regular set. That will be on 12 p.m. this Sunday. So Alison's done it, Bernard's done it. And actually this week was great as well. They had the girls, I feel so bad now because I forget their names. The two girls, Sarah Breen and the other lady who wrote the Aisling books, they were on this week. And they had a great theme. I thought this was so clever, which was Mad for Road, which was great. And Bernard's show was kind of more of an interview one. And then Alison like was really banging out the tunes. She did. It was like, what was it? Will You Shift My Mate? So it was all the songs kind of that would remind you of a teenage disco. Although, you know, the way you see we're a bit older than Alison. So like the songs now that she was playing probably would have reminded me more of my college days and
early 20s.
But they were great. So there were some real bangers.
So do you get to pick all the songs and stuff?
Emma, it was the absolute dream. We had the best crack. So we got to pick the songs and it was just so much fun. I absolutely loved every minute of it. Like just such a joy to do. Do you know like when you do something and you just have such crack? Like myself and Fred were just smiling from ear to ear. We enjoyed it so much.
Oh, that's deadly. And how long is the show?
It's an hour. So it's going to be on this Sunday at 12. Absolutely loved it. But no, do you know what I just said I'd say? Because, you know, you forget to tell people you're doing these things. And then if people do want to listen, obviously, sure, it's on the play or whatever.
That's deadly. So what's your one called?
So it's the shows. So the show is called Who's Chosen Anyway? And our one is Bluetooth Bangers. Now, I do think maybe
a good name.
I think it's a good name, but you know what? I was saying then to Fred, I feel like maybe we over-explain it at the top, but I hope it's like relatively clear because I'm not the best communicator. But the whole idea, as I said, is that, you know, it's those songs that you play in your campsite and you end up missing the whole festival because you're just in your campsite having the crack.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, no, well, do you know what? It was such a joy to do. I just loved it. I thought it was so much fun. And Fred had great crack doing it as well. Obviously, you know, these things will have to take the back seat when we open the Centre of Excellence. So it's just nice, you know, to get these
things. Well, I think these things are going to be used in the showreel or the trailer promo, whatever you want to call it, for the Centre of Excellence.
I think so. Yeah. Celebrating festival, Santa Maxons. I don't know what's going on with us.
Were you able to do it at home then?
So we did it at home. Now I hope the sound is okay. So we did upper links and all that. Now at times I think I was a bit Alan Partridge. Welcome to Bluetooth Bangers. You know, there was a bit of that going on. I think it would, you know, there is something about a pre-record. You probably kind of over-dramatize. Welcome to Bluetooth Bangers. It was a bit kind of over-dramatic in places. But look, I think with these kind of shows for me, like I was saying to Fred, because obviously they gave two ideas. You could do more talk or more music. For me, I want music on the radio on a Sunday. Do you know what I mean? If it's 12 o'clock on a Sunday, I just want to get the tunes out. It was great old crack.
I love that. That's deadly.
Yeah, it was good fun. Well, you know, it's just nice to be doing a bit or bob because I guess I haven't done bits and bobs now for a while as such. So it was nice. It was nice to do it now. It was great old crack. Did you see this very quickly? Did you see this story about the girls in Florida?
No, I don't think so. What were they up to?
Now they actually did talk about it on Elaine today. But so basically this high school in Florida. I know. Do you know what? Because I was delighted with myself. I was like, this is a lovely random story. And then sure, I saw that they were chatting about it. Aoife Dooley was on Elaine and I saw they threw up a clip and I was like, oh, they happened upon that story as well. I love the way that I think I'm so alternative getting my news stories from bbc.co.uk. I'm like, nobody else will have this. Me and my elusive sources. So basically, a high school in Florida is facing backlash for altering the yearbook photos of 80 female students to add clothing to their chests and shoulders. The school district told local media that the changes were made to ensure that the photos would be, quote, modest. But of course, critics pointed to yearbook photos of male students left unedited, despite violating the same standards. And obviously, these changes were made without permission. So they've gotten into trouble. Obviously, if it's not great, it's so strange. Like, I'm gonna show, I'll actually might throw it up on the Patreon, the pictures. Like, one girl, I was wearing a cardigan, and basically what they've done is just the cardigan is kind of pushed over a little bit more, so you see less collarbone and it's just kind of up a bit higher.
That is insane. But like, just to be so concerned with something like that anyway.
Well, it's obviously it's sexualizing young women, which is like, well, teenagers, which is just so pissing off, because like, I just feel like, I know we've talked about this before. It actually got me thinking about Billie Eilish. Do you remember when we were talking about that before?
Yeah.
How she made a concerted effort to hide her body because she didn't want it to be obviously, you know, the subject of like sexualization and all the rest. And then, of course, she had her shoot recently. Did you see that beautiful shoot she did on the cover of what magazine was that?
Oh yeah, I saw it. Yeah,
really like beautifully done. But like, you see, that's more of it, like the fact that like teenage girls have to, I suppose, be subjected to that. Like, even Billie Eilish, I know, like we were saying, like it's empowering in one way, but then in another way it's like, god, if she feels like she has to hide her body so that it's not the subject of this like awful discourse, it's kind of not a good thing either. Do you know what I mean? Like, in one way it's empowering, but in another way, like, it's such bullshit. And I mean, this is obviously the same with this, that like the guys are there in their yearbook photos with their arms out or whatever. And actually a couple of the photos, because they seem to be on vacation. You know the way teenagers in America are gas? They go off on these spring breaks and like final year vacations and all this kind of stuff. So like the lads are there with their tops off in some pictures. And meanwhile, the poor girls, like their cardigans are kind of being pulled over and pulled up so that you don't see a bit of collarbone or whatever. Like, it's ridiculous.
And I assume Elaine was like saying, oh, proper order and stuff, was she?
Well, I wasn't. I didn't actually watch it. I just saw Aoife put up. I know. Do you know what? Elaine and Aoife and I would be, well, I think they'd be very supportive of that move.
They would, yeah. They'd be all over that. That's a fucking joke. Those types of stories, they pop up every so often, every couple of months, and you just want to fucking... I was going to say something, but I won't. I was going to say you want to set the place on fire, but I mean, that's totally...
and you know what? I think
you just want to say to people, what are you thinking, really?
But I just think, you know, that sentiment is the reason why, as much as I love you, I'm afraid I can't employ you in the Centre of Excellence. Pyromaniac over here.
I'll be there in the house looking through my transparent curtains going, should have been me. Should have been me.
Look, at least I got you a few curtains. Come on.
Yeah, I don't get the job, but I get the curtains and I'm delighted.
Okay, right. Now, do you know, we haven't done a listener of the week in a while. Do you have a listener you want to give a special shout out to?
I don't.
On the spot. Do you know what? I feel like we won't do it this week, guys, purely because we'd just be doing it for the sake of it. But I'm going to check the inbox out again.
We want it to mean something, don't we?
So we'll check the inbox now again and we'll pick some for this week. In case I forget, Sophie White is doing an exclusive. Well, I shouldn't say exclusive because I think she's doing it for a few book clubs. She's very sound like that. She's doing a Q&A with us. And our book club, Julie's Book Club, is happening this Friday at 8 o'clock. It's going to be 20 minutes at the top, a Q&A with Sophie. So have your questions at the ready. And then we'll have a regular book club after. And of course, we're doing Corpsing by Sophie White. So that's a Patreon exclusive. I can't wait for that now. It'll be great. This Friday.
Oh, yeah. That came around fast, didn't it?
Didn't it? That was a fast month. So oh, yeah, no, this week, be great. Getting on board, we have Evelyn. We have Ciarán. Gorgeous name, isn't it? Ciarán. That's unusual.
Yeah.
I counted that one before. Sophie. We have Dee. We have Roisin. We have Grace. We have Rachel. Thank you so much for getting on board, guys. It does mean so much to us.
Thanks very much. We really appreciate it.
I've been Ginny J.
I've been Emma Doran. God bless.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.